We'll bring you the conclusion to QSO Today's interview with Rain's founder in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. From the Chicago suburban studios of the Radio Amateur Information Network, I'm Larry McGlore, KB9DIP, with the conclusion of a very different Rain report, an interview of Rain's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP. Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, an American transplant in Israel, conducted an hour-long interview of Hap for QSO Today, a ham radio podcast Eric began producing in July 2014. Eric spoke with Hap on October 5th, 2014.
Hap, you're the producer of the Rain Report. What is it and how did it come about?
In the middle 80s, I found myself listening to Westlink Radio. Today we know it as the Amateur Radio Newsline out of L.A., produced by its co-founder, Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, one of my mentors. I used to listen to this weekly ham radio newscast and think, wow, this is neat stuff. Maybe I can do something like this locally for the Chicago area. In 1984, I became a member of the BEAR, the Broadcast Employees Amateur Repeater here in Chicago, and it was on that repeater that I started a net information service in June of that year. It was all live to start with. You know, I didn't do any kind of production work. But before long, I began to put some of the reports on tape that folks would phone in to an answering machine. Those days, we were using cassettes. Somebody would phone a report about a local club activity coming up, or around the time of field day, the third weekend of June every year, folks would call in from a bunch of different radio clubs and talk about what they were going to do and where they were going to be on field day. I was able in those days then to just lift the tape out of the machine and put it on my cassette deck and transfer it. Now, I didn't do any editing yet, but it wasn't long before I did. When I did start editing my audio or somebody else's report, I did it on Open Reel. I had an old 4300 TX. For you young folks who haven't been around very long, round plastic reels full of analog recording tape. But you probably saw it in your grandfather's basement or that sort of thing. In the late 80s, I began thinking, why don't I make some of this information available to anybody who calls in? So I began to produce the RP report every week. And then, in the late 80s, a friend of mine at the time told me, well, why don't you call your service the Radio Amateur Information Network, the RAIN report. I then created the RAIN dial-up service. By that time, I had expanded my program horizons beyond Chicago to regional and the entire country. I wasn't competing with Newsline. Nobody can compete with Bill Pasternak and the hours he spends producing that great 20, 30-minute weekly ham radio news service. But I was doing what he dubbed the stories behind the stories. That's how the Rain Report got started, and the Rain Report went online in 1996. Today, it is available from therainreport.com, and it's also available on Twitter, the hashtag @therainreport. Because it's available 24/7 from Twitter or from therainreport.com, it is played on a number of repeaters. I don't know how many repeaters, I wouldn't venture to guess, but it is fun that periodically I'll be on HF and I'll talk to a guy in maybe San Diego or Idaho Falls, Texas, or somewhere, and they'll say, oh, I thought I'd recognize your voice from somewhere. I have a voice that I can't hide. I can never make them seen phone calls. Not with my voice. But it is really quite fun to run into people that actually know the Rain Report. But I have to give major, major credit to the Dayton Hamvention, which I've been going to since the late 80s. I think we only missed 1 year. My wife, Stephanie, and I drive down there, and I work out an agreement every year to patch into each of the forum rooms. Generally, there are four. So I record nonstop Friday for 8 hours, Saturday 8 hours, Sunday 4 hours. All right, so that's 20 hours for each room of audio. That audio is what comprises most of the RAIN report. I don't do that many interviews because I have so much good audio from forums at the Dayton Amvention. Now, you might think, gee, 20 hours times 4 is 80 hours. That's a whole lot more audio than you might need for 52 programs. Well, unfortunately, I can't use all the forum audio I get because some folks rely too much on the visual aspect of whatever it is they're giving a talk about. And in fact, they rely so much on the visual that if you can't see the visual presentation, there's not a whole lot to work with because the speaker too often relies on the visual to tell the story rather than him or her telling the story and having the visual be supportive to help add to the verbal story. Now, sometimes you can get around that, but generally, no. And then there are some subjects that are just too technical. That's one of the challenges I have. I have to remember there are a lot of new people that are listening. And is this program going to fly? Is it going to make any sense to somebody who's new? There are those occasions I will run a technical program. And I get some good positive mail. And yeah, man, I like it when you run that technical stuff. Well, those are few and far between.
Hap, your wife Stephanie is also a ham. How did that come about? And what kind of impact did it have on your family and marriage?
First of all, I met my wife in a summer camp in 1975. I was a counselor. She was a camper. We were together from the day we met, July 6th of 1975, to the day we got married, which was August 28th of 76. That 13-month period, we were only in the same area code, less than 20 days. 20 days. Long-distance romances can work, but it can be tough. I was here in the Des Plaines, Chicago area. She was in Tucson. Well, we got married in 76, as I just said, and drove back here. Keep in mind, and I need to toot her horn a little bit. She was 20 years old. I was 25, and she had only learned how to drive in March. She had only been driving 4 months before she drove a Chevy van that was loaded to the gills with all of our earthly possessions from California, where we got married in Escondido, to Chicago. Well, that's a long drive for anybody, especially for a 20-year-old gal that had just learned how to drive 4 months earlier. It was some years before she got her novice license. She's still a novice, by the way. Her call, K-A-9-W-K-D. Now, she would say W-K-D stands for We Keep Dancing. I like to say WKD stands for weird, kinky, and demented. That's just my sick sense of humor. How did she become a ham? Well, that was a little subterfuge here. I decided, you know, a good way to maybe have her become a ham is to have a ham class in our dining room. Hey, you know, kind of hard to avoid that. So in 86, we did. I think there were two or three people there that were in the class. She and I were both in it, although I pretty well knew it all. No, I didn't know it all. I just knew enough that I could have passed it if I needed to. Well, towards the end of the class, one Sunday afternoon, her Elmer, Stan, NK9A, here in the Chicago area, said, well, look, let's have you send some code and, you know, receive it. Anyway, to make a long story short, she wound up passing the test. Didn't even realize she was being tested. That took the pressure off of her. She hasn't done much with her license, but she tolerates ham radio rather well, a whole lot better than a lot of wives do. But you know the secret to that is don't stay in your ham shack every waking hour that you can. Spend some time with your dearly beloved because that will pay you back many times over the years with a spouse who will be a whole lot more tolerant because he or she hasn't been left out weekend after weekend while you were contesting your brains out.
I heard on the radio today, I heard someone say, a happy wife makes a happy ham.
Yeah, of course, a happy wife makes for a happy life.
Also, yes, absolutely.
You're listening to a conversation with QSO Today's Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, conducted with RAIN's Hap Holly, KC9RP via Skype. In a moment, we'll bring you the conclusion of our excerpts from that interview. This is The Rain Report, available 24/7 from therainreport.com and via Twitter at #TheRainReport.
You're listening to The Rain Report from www.therainreport.com.
Hafa, in 2002, you were named Dayton Hamvention Amateur of the Year. How has that recognition impacted your life?
Oh, I don't know that it has, but I'm telling you what. When I got the phone call in March of 2002, and I was told that I'd been named Ham of the Year, it was one of those rare, real rare occasions that I was virtually speechless. I didn't know what to say. I was shocked. What? Me? You named me Ham of the Year? In all honesty, I thought I might get it, but not for another 10 or 20 years. But not in 2002. Ooh, wow. Well, I thought I hadn't paid my dues, but some might argue otherwise. But I'm still producing the Rain Report and still love to do it. And I've always said, when it starts to become work, I'm out of here. I'm not going to do it anymore, so I don't get paid for it. I have a handful of hams across the country that I can send a script to. One or two of them might send it to literally with about 3-hour notice, which sometimes is what happens on Friday. You know, the week's gone by, and oh no, I haven't figured out what I'm going to do for the Rain Report. Oh, I'll think of something, or I'll cop out and I'll pull something out of the archive. What the heck? My archive is slowly being digitized. I recorded in the 90s on cassette. Fortunately, with Maxell UDXL 2 with Dolby C. So the quality was good. Not digital, but it was good analog quality. So I've been slowly, month by month, year by year, transferring, digitizing my Rain Reports. The website only goes back to 2006, but it really could go back to the 90s. Just need to take time to put them up there.
You're quite active in public service outside of ham radio. Can you speak about how you serve your community?
Oh, some would say I don't serve my community, but never mind. That's supposed to be funny. I've been involved in the local community outside of ham radio, starting back in 1975 with the local Lions Club here in Des Plaines, Illinois. And in fact, was president of that Lions Club, early 2000s, I think. I've really enjoyed it. I'm still a member, but our club is dwindling like so many service clubs because the current generation and even generation before that doesn't join anything. There are too many distractions at home to keep people busy. The other organization that I'm involved with that is still very much alive and kicking is called Toastmasters. And I've been involved in Des Plaines Toastmasters since 1977. That's a long time. Toastmasters is an organization where you learn to listen, process what you've heard, and respond, otherwise known as impromptu speaking. But also, we learn how to make effective presentations that are only 5 to 7 minutes long. As I like to say, Eric, it's the only organization that people join for purely selfish reasons. In other words, you don't join it to, oh, let's help the handicapped, let's help the homeless. Uh-uh. Let's help ourselves. That's why people join. I'm in it for me. But in the process, you learn how to be diplomatic and tactful. You learn how to listen to presentations and evaluate them kindly, yet objectively. And boy, that's something that everybody should be able to learn to do. Because how often we run into people who will say something to us that, if said correctly or in the proper intonation, is okay. But said unkindly, same thing, same words even, and be hurtful or threatening. I just absolutely love Toastmasters. I love the mentoring part of it. It's not like jumping into the pool after you've learned how to swim and you're left alone on your own devices to get to the other side. Toastmasters, you jump in that pool and somebody's there waiting to help you. I love that part of Toastmasters. And it's a very level playing field for the blind, for the disabled overall, and for those who have English as a second language. Toastmasters has helped me greatly over the years to communicate better, to have the discipline most of the time, but not all the time, to not say ah or or you know. Gosh, how often you hear an interview of an athlete, and I'm telling you, every fifth or tenth word is the phrase, you know. No, I don't know, so stop saying that. Oh, it drives me crazy. So I appreciate a real good presentation, whether it's the Dayton Hamvention, whether it's my Lions Club, my Toastmasters Club, wherever it might be. I really pay attention to that stuff because I've been doing this for so many years in Toastmasters. And it has helped me greatly just in this interview because I am so used to impromptu speaking with Toastmasters that when I'm interviewed, I don't do any preparation. I just go with the flow, listen to what's being asked, and process it, hopefully reasonably well, and then respond again, hopefully reasonably well. But yeah, it's really helped a lot in my RAID reports, especially when I interview folks, and helped me mean my editing, because when you edit, you have to really pay attention to what you're listening to. And it's interesting how often, Eric, I would imagine you've run into this too, how often I edit down an interview with someone, and I'll come back to it maybe a week later, and I'll play it back, and I'll say, oh man, how did I miss that last time when I was editing this? I missed that or I missed that you know, or I missed that clearing of the throat, whatever it might be. It is a constant process, but Toastmasters has really done so much to help me pay attention to what I'm listening to and to be able to respond to what I hear and then turn around and ask a follow-up question if I'm doing an interview with someone. It's also helped me with my writing. I don't do a lot of writing, but I have done some for a couple of ham magazines back in the 80s and 90s. Gosh, what were they? It's been so long. There are magazines that are long since gone. But that helped me in writing as well, for the same reason. To be sure that I use words that say what I want them to say. Of course, the thesaurus is also very helpful, too, still.
Well, I think as a person who uses you know and a fair amount, I've discovered with a podcast that when I listen in the edit that I use it a lot more than I thought. So I, for all the listeners, they can forgive me for whatever noises I don't edit out of the podcast before it goes out to them. Anyway, Hap, I want to thank you so much for joining me on QSO today. It's been a gas. I enjoyed actually doing the research before I started, before we had the interview. And so I learned a fair amount about you before we had a chance to talk. And I look forward to having a QSO with you again. With that, 73.
Well, thank you, Eric. It's rare that I get interviewed, so it's fun to be on the other end of the microphone. I hope that we do a QSO again, 73, from KC.RP.
And that concludes our spotlight on RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP. He was interviewed in early October 2014 by Eric Guth, 4Z1UG, the man behind QSO Today, a ham radio podcast that appeared out of nowhere this past summer, and you'll have one of those rare opportunities to hear the same interview we brought you in the past 2 weeks, but edited differently, coming soon to QSOtoday.com, program number 13. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2014, RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for all affiliated with the RAIN Report, I'm Larry McClure, KB9DIP, bidding you a very 73 from the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.